Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, everyone. Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Welcome to the show, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. We are live with And the Podcast Will Rock. That's right. Another live show, another one going down, but a special live show because now we have we've reached a milestone in the show. We have finished our first album in this journey, and that is Fair Warning. So we're here to talk about it, but we're not alone, are we? I am, of course, am your co-host Mark Kamaya. With me as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how are you feeling? You ready to get on some Fair Warning?
I'm excited. We waited 92 episodes to finally finish off our first album, and it's Fair Warning, which tops a lot of people's favorite lists. When we had Eric Senich on and we were talking about everybody's Van Halen six-pack, I think Fair Warning was at the top of the majority of those lists. So I'm excited about tonight, and I'm excited about this panel we got here.
Hell yeah, man. That's like I said, we couldn't do this alone because you and I, we do a lot of shows, the dynamic duo ourselves, and we could have talked ad nauseum about Fair Warning, but it's always nice to get fresh perspectives, new perspectives, and what a great panel of people we have right here. Starting off right from the bat, let's give a big welcome to some people you might recognize in name and some people you might know just because they've been on the show. Scott Everett, Sean McGinnity, Scott Monroe, Chaz Mataz, and the gunslinger himself. What is up, everybody? How's it going?
Evening, guys.
Hello.
What's happening, man? Sorry, I was on mute. Classic.
Yeah, it's cool to unmute now.
Right? Okay, we're good.
The intro's done. Everything's good. So you just pipe on in whenever you guys are ready.
Great intro. Love the video intro, guys. That was cool.
Oh, thanks.
Nice.
Very nice.
That is good stuff. Yeah, producer extraordinaire. That's Corey. That's all Corey. I do none of that.
The CMPU.
That's right. The Godfather of podcasting, I thought.
He is.
Well, no. If we're talking Godfather, we got to be talking Gunslinger. We got to talk about our very special guest from the unrivaled leader in rock and roll podcasting. It's the one and only Chris L. from Pot of Thunder. How's it going, Chris? Thank you very much for coming.
It's pretty good. I think your production skills are far exceed your grasp for reality. But I appreciate the bluster in introducing me, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on for this episode in particular.
I thought he was about to say your production skills far outweigh your podcasting speaking skills, and I was about to just lose my mind because that.
Oh no, he'd be right there too. Yeah.
Nonsense! You're taking over the podcasting airwaves one podcast at a time. You're so close. If this was the Infinity Gauntlet, you've got at least three stones right now.
Working on more. Yeah. Oh, we're getting some more. Oh, Scott's back here. We got a couple other guys lurking here. We got a bunch of people in the chat. Tar Mumbruster is here. Our friends from Dissect That Film is here. Yeah, Fat Man with a Guitar. Alan is here. Johnny Bean, who a very famous Van Halen YouTuber, he's lurking in the YouTube chat, and he submitted rankings for this show here tonight, too. So we'll be talking about his rankings along with some of our other special guests, including Eric Senich from the Van Halen News Desk, who hopefully will be around here at some point.
Well, we can't go live and not expect a wild Eric Senich to make an appearance, because even if it's very briefly, he typically does. So be on the lookout for that.
He'll do it while driving his car or something, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So Jeff Brewer is here, but barely. But you know what? Whatever small percentage of you is with us, we love it. We appreciate that small percentage. So thank you, Jeff. Please feel better soon. As I said at the top of the show, man, we finished Fair Warning. It's the first album we finished. So now what better way to give it a proper send off than to discuss it amongst this panel and also give our rankings track by track on how we feel about Fair Warning. Now, people out there might say the rankings are not fair. And that's a warning to you that not all of it is going to go down the way you think it's going to go down. At least I think so. But I'm curious to know how the rest of the panel votes. So with that firmly in mind, let me ask you guys, are you ready to talk Fair Warning? Because Scott Haskins ready, because he just joined the show. What's up, Scott Haskins?
Hey, Scott.
And we can hear you. We're off to a great start with you.
He probably just woke up and doesn't even have his mic plugged in yet, so.
No, it was
just
on,
so as you know,
it didn't have any power, but you know, how much you really want out of me?
Gotta love going live.
Look, Jeff Brewer's giving us about 10%, so if you can match at least 10%, we're good.
Oh, I got 11.
Oh, he's got 11.
He goes to 11.
We're not even playing the Price is Right game yet, and here you are. So,
did you guys hear?
Yes, Bob Barker.
Price is Right.
Yeah,
that's right.
He got Bob Barker literally got closest to 100 without going over.
Can't even say too soon because that was spot on. But yeah,
I feel like Bob would probably appreciate that joke. Yeah, so you know, we're just gonna, and I'm basing that on nothing. I've never met the man, but I'm just going to assume that.
Can we
really
find some way, Corey, to play that?
Still owes me $20.
Yeah. But yeah, there you have it. So if you guys are ready to get down on our rankings of Fair Warning, what do you say we get this started? Yeah.
I was playing a little Price is Right because everybody was kind of missing on Bob Barker. So there you go.
That music's gonna haunt me now. The time the show is over. But yeah, R.I.P. Bob Barker. But we'll do the show in his honor. So with that being said, we're gonna start with the number 9 pick. It's 9 tracks from the album. We're going to start with number 9. Based on everybody's ranking, it was pretty, I wouldn't say unanimous. I don't think, Corey, it was unanimous, but I'm not surprised by this. So number 9, what we got?
All right. Well, first of all, before I get to number 9, we should maybe explain what we did. So we reached out to all of our patrons, special guests like Chris L. from Pot of Thunder. We got Greg Renoff, author extraordinaire, Eric Senich from the Van Halen News Desk, Steve Roth, another author, Darren Paltrowitz and Steve Ross are from the DLR cast, Steve Rosen, Jeff Goebel, who writes for Van Halen News Desk, Greg Prado, Johnny Bean from that tremendous YouTube channel. They all submitted their rankings, and I just asked everybody to rank them 1 through 9, and what we did is we gave 9 points to your number 1 song, 8 points to your number 2 song, all the way down, so your last song, number 9, got 1 point. We compiled all the numbers together, and let's introduce what came up at number 9, and it's...
My
1 foot out the door. That's right, 1 foot out the door, finished number 9. Total points of 60. Its highest ranking was number 3. Somebody ranked it third on their ballot, and that person is on this call, so we'll ask them about that. Lowest ranking was number 9. It finished 9th 15 times. And down below here, you can just see how many votes it got in every spot. 15 for 9th, 13th for 8th, 2 votes for 7th spot, 2 votes for 6th, nothing for 5th or 4th, 1 for 3rd, and then none for 2nd and none for 1st. So I was a little surprised, actually, that 1 foot out the door finished 9th, because we have an instrumental on this record that's...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I kind of thought would finish number 9, but as it stands with only 60 points, number 9 is 1 foot out the door.
Yeah, 1 foot out the door. And since you just went ahead and said we're going to call him out, can the person on the panel please, if they want to volunteer themselves, who ranked this number 3? I'm very curious as to why.
Look, which one you did? Might as well get used to the fact that the whole podcast is probably going to go this way, because I don't rank songs the way everyone else does.
That's a fair warning.
It's a fair warning. Well played. I really like the energy of the song. I kind of liked it that there was a little bit of a different sound to David Lee Roth instead of just that standard thing that we hear on every song. It's nice to have a little bit of variety. But for me, it was really more the energy of the song. I thought this is a good toe-tapping song. And it was one of the ones I enjoyed the most.
Fair enough. Yeah, you know, it's all subjective, and you know, sometimes the tracks hit us differently and hit us in a way that we don't expect sometimes. For me personally, I believe I didn't put this one last, but it was close to being last. For those of you that did put this last, you have the floor. I want to hear what about it. 1 foot out the door just didn't meet the standards as a compared to the rest of the tracks. Anybody? Go ahead.
Well, for me, this is probably the last song in Roth's catalog, quite frankly. So not the last song in the Van Halen catalog, but for his. And really, honestly, it's just like the best of the bad bunch. You know, I love it because it's so in your face and so punk and so different from everything they did. But that said, you know, it's not the one that I go to. It's, you know, it's there for, you know, when it's on, I won't turn it off. Right. But it doesn't come on that often. You know, it's just one of those tunes that just I've got fond memories. I mean, we used to play that song. It used to, I think I was saying when I was on the show that that album would come on at a party. And then when that tune would come on, that's when all the girls would leave the room. And that's when, you know, things got wild. So, you know, fond memories there. But other than that, no, it's not very musical. It's just, you know, I think just kind of in your face noise filler. Killer filler.
I like that. For me, this one wasn't, I put this, full disclosure, my number 8. This was my number 8, only because the track that comes before, comes last in my place just didn't have the same sort of, it was more of a throwaway track than this one. I didn't feel like this one was just a throwaway, we don't care about it. It's just we put a song together because we had to meet a certain quota of 9 songs, and plus we have one instrumental. No, just for me, I echo kind of what Scott says. There is a lot of energy in this song for sure, but there's something about it that, as you say, Chaz, doesn't come up a lot, doesn't really come up in the rotation. So for me, while it does have that Van Halen energy, it still doesn't just quite get it to where I need it to be in comparison to the other tracks. So not my last pick, but my second to last. Anybody else have anything to say about 1 foot out the door?
Yeah, I think, you know, what's interesting about this one too, when we think about rankings, for me, this is just really an outro. You know, it's a very fitting outro to Fair Warning, and it's really, you know, it goes together so well with Sunday Afternoon in the Park. But on its own, when you're ranking it, it has trouble for me standing on its own. It really just serves its purpose as that album outro, but it's hard to place it really high for me when you're just looking at it in a silo.
Sean, what are you thinking?
I was going to say number 9 on this album is like a number, you know, compared to any other album, number 9 on there isn't a bad song on this album at all. So
yeah,
I mean, it's the worst. It's the quote unquote worst song on this album, but
yeah,
there ain't anything bad on this album at all. Now I want to hear what the Gunslinger has to say, because I know he has a strong opinion on this album.
What you got, Chris?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I mean, it's kind of like when I would equate it to when discussions of Zeppelin come up and I say Zeppelin 4 is in my bottom three Zeppelin albums, and everybody freaks out until you point out that it's like, it doesn't mean it's bad. It's just something's got to rank toward the bottom. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, that's kind of the case here. I definitely, I think it should outrank Sunday Afternoon in the Park for two reasons. One, it's got a David Lee Roth pen story about banging somebody else's wife. I mean, how does that not catapult it above something that has no lyrics in it at all? That just doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't compute with me. And second, you know, that Ride Out solo by Eddie is really highly regarded amongst like serious Van Halen nerds and guitar nerds. I mean, he's just ripping it up on that one. So, I mean, you got Roth singing about, you know, adultery, and Eddie Van Halen just shredding his balls off. That's got to rank above a synth instrumental, in my opinion, automatically. So, but full disclosure, I think I had it second to last, simply because all the other material on this on the album is just so much stronger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No arguments there, for sure. And I echo what Chris and Sean both said. It's there, just because we ranked this one last doesn't mean it sucks, doesn't mean it's awful. It just means, well, if we have to do a ranking whatsoever, where does this one fall? So just to be clear, because I know people will come after us if we're suggesting such. Scott Everett, what have you got to say about it?
I'm much like you, Mark. I added it eight. So, you know, again, it's a great song. I love it. But, you know, it's just so short. Again, I think that hurts the ranking as well. But yeah, I had the synth song right behind it.
Seems that's a fair deal. Corey, what about yourself?
I had a little higher, I think, than most people. I had it sixth. Again, it's not really, yeah. I really kind of dig the groove of that. And like Chris said, it's David Lee Roth, you know, telling a very compelling David Lee Roth story. You know, I didn't see how I could put it any lower than sixth. But majority of our folks had it eighth or ninth. I'm just looking at some of the special guests. Eric Sedich had it ninth. Steve Roth had it ninth. Sorry, eighth. Darren Paltrowitz had it seventh. Steve Rosen had it eighth. Greg Renoff had it ninth. Jeff Goebel had it ninth. Our good friend Kelsey, who couldn't be here tonight, she also had it ninth. Author Greg Cato had it seventh. And I promised him I would mention his books, because he's very excited to mention he penned two books that feature Eddie Van Halen on the cover. Shredder's The Oral History of Speed Guitar and Iconic Guitar Gear. So go check out those books from nice. Greg Pareto. And where did Todd put this one, Sean? He had it eighth as well. So, yeah, the majority of people, yep. Johnny Bean, who's in the chat, had it ninth. Kyle Anderson, good friend of ours, he had it eighth. So pretty decent. Yeah. Everyone was pretty much in agreement on one foot out the door. What do you say? You guys ready to hear what landed at number eight?
Yes, dare sir. I wonder.
Yeah. It's not going to be much of a surprise, I don't think.
A good idea.
Here we go.
There.
Tied for eight.
That's right. The beautifully romantic Sunday Afternoon in the Park. Oops, a little too much there. I shouldn't drink whiskey and play with volume controls, but let's bring up the stats for number eight. Sunday Afternoon in the Park at 68 points. Its highest ranking was first on two different ballots.
Whoa, yeah, two.
And one of those folks is on the call, Scott Haskin. You're going to have to explain yourself again. Its lowest ranking was ninth. It finished ninth on 14 ballots, eighth on 13th, seventh on two, sixth on one. And then two people ranked Sunday Afternoon in the Park the best song off of Fair Warning. What do you say we go right to Scott Haskin and start making fun of him?
Spotlight on Scott. Like, well, actually, let me take a guess. I'm of two minds here, Scott. You did it because one, you love chaos. and you just wanted to see if you could just stir the pot just a little with this one or two. You're just really into synth, and you're like, finally, nothing but synth in a Van Halen song. So, like, it's what I've been dreaming about. Which one is it, Scott?
Maybe a little bit of both. Also, before I say anything about the song, I just want to point out, before anybody blames me for this, I did not write sexiest podcaster on my profile.
You certainly did.
I did not.
Liar.
I won't say who, but nice. Upper left-hand corner. Yeah, I do love synth. I love the patience of the song. I love horror movies, and this kind of felt like a horror movie score when they're revealing the living dead coming out of the grave.
Right.
And I just absolutely love that sound. I love just the cool tone to it and the patience. I love the drum sound too. The drums sound really big on this. And yeah, that was what did it for me.
That's fair. I believe during the show when we discussed this track, I think one of us or maybe all of us had mentioned it sounds like a John Carpenter film, which, you know, John Carpenter loves his synth, utilizes it in as many of his films as possible, if not all of them. And it's one of the reasons why we love it. So I get it. I understand that that mentality. And hey, again, if a track is hitting you a particular way and you're gearing up for Halloween season and you're like, yep, this one. There it is. So kudos.
If anyone's listening to Scott's material is pretty awesome. So this kind of fits kind of alongside like the stuff that he puts together.
Well, thank you, Sean. Well, I appreciate that.
Yep. I just want to point out the other guy that voted this number one is Johnny Bean, and he's in the YouTube comments right now. So Johnny, if you want to chime in with why you voted Sunday Afternoon in the Park number one, we'd love to hear it.
Explain yourself. The only reason why I put this as my last in my rankings personally was because Sunday Afternoon in the Park, there was no Manny Patinkin to be found on this particular track, and that's a Broadway reference for some of y'all. but for real, I love synth. I love what everything you said, Scott, about it. I completely agree with it. I think the only reason this is last is because a song had to be put last in this ranking. And much like what Chris mentioned, well, this is the one that doesn't have any lyrical content. This is one that just kind of it's not necessarily a throwaway, but I guess it kind of could be. And you can't just discount all the other tracks above this one. So if any of them's got to go last, I guess it has to be this one, at least for me. So that's why I put it there. Chris, how about you? Did you put this one last as well?
Yeah, I put it last, and I'm going to have to call SHBS on this one. This is a shocking vote. To put it number one, I mean, I get if you like it, but to put it at the very top, that's something Nick would do. I mean, you know, this is what you've done is kind of like... Man. Hey, I could shit on Nick. I mean, he's used to it now after 10
for
years.
Sure.
And plus, he brings it on himself because it's just with outrageousness like this. And I would equate this in the opposite direction of like the voter in the Hockey Hall of Fame who doesn't vote for Gretzky on the first ballot being like, yeah, you know, he's not a slam dunk. I think he shouldn't get in this time. This is like the opposite of that. I mean, putting it at the top of this album in particular and, you know, with no guitar or with no Eddie or Roth on it is, I don't know. It's rendering me almost speechless.
Fair enough.
Well, to be fair, there is Eddie on the track. He's just not.
I mean, Eddie on guitar.
He's not
Eddie on guitar.
Yeah,
Eddie on guitar. Okay, I'm not. I don't want Eddie to be Vangelis for me. Okay, no. I want to hear Eddie with a guitar in the hand. You know. Look, hey, you like synth and stuff, but this jump intruder. It's all, you know, it's all very rudimentary compared to his, you know, virtuoso guitar playing. So, you know, I don't personally get the big deal about Eddie on keyboards. I mean, he's just kind of, you know, obviously talented, but most, if not all the stuff he put out there on keyboards is pretty rudimentary, in my opinion.
I would just say that, this kind of music is more my wheelhouse than Van Halen is on the whole. And I've always gone into this, you know, any episode of the show saying that this is not a band that I listen to very often. I know a couple of their hits. I've really learned a lot about them through this podcast, but they're never a band that I don't like straightforward kind of rock and roll, the stuff that they do in general. But I've grown to have a hell of an appreciation for them through this podcast, but they're just not my wheelhouse. That song is more my wheelhouse. And Corey, like, Scott used through.
And Scott, I think you said this is the first Van Halen record you listened to front to back just to do the rankings, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Ah, well, there you go. So very curious how the rest of your voting goes. But Scott Monroe, where did you put Sunday Afternoon in the part?
I had it right here. Again, to me, this is part of the duo that goes with One Foot Out the Door. So they go together for me. One leads into the other. I really enjoy the synth, but stacked against everything else, I don't see how you could put it much higher.
Very fair. Very fair. And kudos on the extreme shirt. I see what you did there. Sean, how about you, man?
No apologies.
Yeah, I rated that one eighth. Yeah, I did rate that one eighth.
Yep, fair enough. It had to be one or the other, so you know, there it goes. Chaz.
Yeah, I was at eighth, and because they are a duo, you know, it's like Live and Love and Made, and you know, it's like you know, it goes together. But you know, for me though, this song did have a special place in that. Grew up in New York, New Jersey, and we used to go to the Hayden Planetarium, and this synth part was used in the Planetarium show. So it would come on really like, you know, in those, you know, those really loud, you know, Planetarium speakers, and the seats would rumble. It was actually a pretty cool experience. So for me, this this intro has a special part, but it's always going to be a part of the song that comes after that. And again, yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, for me, actually, if I had to judge it differently, it would definitely be ahead of nine, for the reason that it was Eddie being, you know, Eddie doing the synth thing. And that's, you know, part of his musical lexicon. It was part of his character. It was, you know, whether we like it or not, he liked it, and he wanted everybody to know that he was a player. So I mean, you know, I respect it. So for me, that's why it was a little higher than nine.
That's a good track to have in a planetarium visit. Actually, now that I think about it, that was a good call on that one. So Scott Everett, how do you feel?
I had it nine. You know, edit, trying new things out is always cool to me, if whether it's synth or guitar or whatever it is. So it's cool. The song's inspired by him and Val fighting all the time, apparently. So, and that comes across, I think, in the dark tones and that sort of thing. But I mean, again, something had to place this low on such a great album. So that's where it was.
Had to be done. Corey?
I also placed it ninth. Had I heard this in like the movie Christine or They Live, I think it would have hit a lot harder for me on a Van Halen record. I don't know. I'm kind of with Chris when it comes to the synths. I don't mind the synth as much, but here it would just kind of, I don't know. Give me something like Spanish Fly if you're going to put an instrumental on a Van Halen record. But I should mention, I forgot to, on song number nine, One Foot Out the Door, what the audience voted on our polls originally, Mark, and way back when we did that episode, it was 85.5%. What Dreams Are Made Of, 14.5%. This Dream Is Over. So that is the seventh ranking, actually, out of eight, because we don't rank the instrumentals. So out of the polls, it's second last from our audience. But pretty much everyone had a Sunday Afternoon either eighth or ninth, except for Scott, who had it third. Or sorry, yeah, had it first, along with Johnny
first,
B.
First, yeah.
First. Everybody else was either eighth or ninth.
Let's make sure you say Haskin. I don't want anyone getting me confused that I ranked that
high. Yeah.
Be careful.
Direct the death threats at the correct Scott.
We have so many Scott, so you know, it's like, be careful with that. Johnny Bean, we're still looking for your explanation. So
yeah,
if you're still with us, please throw that in there. But all right, so what's next then?
Well, Johnny has gone radio silent, so maybe he
has. Yeah.
We outed him and he ran away. I'm not sure. But let's get on to our next one here. Song number seven, and it's... That's right. Number seven, Push Comes to Shove. Total points, 138, so quite a big jump from 9 and 8 all the way up to 7. Its highest ranking was first on one ballot. Its lowest ranking was 8th, so this song never finished 9th on anybody's ranking. You can see it finished 8th 4 times, 7th 9 times, 6th 8 times, 5th 7 times, 4th twice, 3rd once, 2nd once, and 1st once. So, Push Comes to Shove, number 7. Let's get into it.
Yeah, let's go ahead and start with Scott Monroe, man. How'd you vote for this one?
I had it in 6, so around the same spot. You know, it's a great track. It's so hard when we get into this middle section here. A lot of these are so interchangeable for me, but it's just a great groove, and I really dig it. But I can't go much higher than 6 with it.
All right. All there, Scott Everett.
I had it right here at number 7. So love the groove. It's kind of a bluesy type thing, and I think Dave's lyrics really, and the way he's singing this song, really good. So storytelling, the whole thing. So again, but it's a tough album to rate any higher than that on this album.
It really has a lot more bangers than you think so. So yeah, it's the ranking this one, I won't lie, was a little bit difficult, but I hear you. Scott Haskin, how did you feel? Where did you put Push Comes to Shove?
I put this one to number 7. Now Corey and I have done a lot of podcasts together, and one thing he knows about me is that I do love a good bass line. I like the bass line on it, but it's just like one beat short of the energy I want out of it. It's just slightly too slow, and that just kind of killed the mood of the song. In general, I think it's pretty good, but it's just a little too slow for me.
Too slow for Haskin. It's got to be fast. It's got to be raw. I get it. It's fine. It's so good.
Chaz, but, you know, just a little more caffeine.
So very, 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 very young Metallica. Kill 'em all, Metallica. Got you. Cool. Chaz, speaking of Metallica, how'd you feel about this track, Push Comes to Shove?
So I love this song. I love like sitting around on a Sunday morning, like, you know, in the breakfast nook with my guitar playing this one. It's just one of those fun ones to me. It's but you know, it's like their disco song. Right. To me, this was their like Kiss's, like I Was Made for Loving You. This was like Van Halen doing a disco groove. And I dig it. It's again, because it's so much fun to play. And like someone else said, it's just this middle area is so hard with this album to rank these songs. I mean, you know, so it ended up at 6. So a little higher than where we are now, but, you know, general area.
You heard it here, folks. Chaz believes this is Van Halen's disco era. You heard it. Direct all of your hate emails and tweets to him at Regarding Lulu. So
bring it.
go get him. Sean, man, where did you put Push Comes to Shove?
Number 2.
All right.
What?
Number 2.
Oh, explain.
I love this track. There isn't anything about this track I don't love. Like it. The bass line, it sounds like Dave like drank a whole like fifth of like Jack before singing this. His voice is raspy as hell.
Probably.
It just sounds like super lived in. Sounds like they're all just smoking joints in the studio, just recording it, just grooving, you know, and just, I don't know, like this is a song I play on my kit like all the time because there's a wicked... just wicked Alex on it, like just so good on it. It's not a complicated beat until you really listen to it, and there's, you know, there's some complexity there. Anything where Alex is doing something like this where he's sitting back making it look easy but it ain't easy just scores really high with me.
That's a very fair point. Yeah. I would encourage the listeners maybe not so hot on this track. Yeah. Like listen to the drums, maybe, especially if you're a drum enthusiast, give that a gander and you'll hear what Sean's hearing. Chris L though, where would you, one, do you agree with Chaz's disco assessment? And two, where would you put this song?
Corey, you're going to have to help me out and remind me about my exact rankings. I don't have them in front of me, but I know I had this higher than seventh. I don't agree with the disco assessment, but I do think that this is Van Halen at their funkiest for sure. Mm. And so the big thing for me about this song is back in 81, I was about 2 years into learning how to play guitar. And if anybody else on the panel is as old as I am, you remember that back in the day they had these things called hot licks. It was a little cassette and booklet combo that you would get that had transcribed songs and solos on the cassette and then tablature and booklet. And the one I bought was, it was called In the Style of Van Halen. I'm sure they put it that way for legal reasons or whatever. But in the first bit of music on that cassette and in the booklet was the solo to this song, Push Comes to Shove. And I got about half an hour into it before I threw my hands up and I was like, you know what? I might get to the point where I know all the notes and can play all the notes and can even approximate the phrasing, but I'll never get it 100% right. I will never be able to cop all the nuances of this amazing guitar playing. And at that moment, Eddie Van Halen sort of sent me down the road of becoming my own guitar player, for better or for worse. You know, it's kind of like, you know, everybody knows how much he was into Clapton and learned the live Wheels of Fire Crossroads solo note for note, but he never once sounded like that in his career. And that sent me down that road. I was like, I'm never gonna be able to play like him, but he's inspiring me to play like myself, for better or for worse, how that panned out. But that's why this song and this solo in particular, I think I probably hold it in a higher regard than a lot of people.
Often imitated, never duplicated. We've said it before, is certainly, we don't need to tell you that. Everyone knows if you've ever heard Eddie play, so completely understandable on that front. So yeah, I get it. I don't know what these hot licks you speak of are.
Take a look at this. This is awesome.
That looks made up. Starlicks. That's what the
Starlicks.
I think you just made that right now.
Xerox copy. Yeah.
I can tell you.
This is the Jimmy Page version, but yes.
I worked in a music store. We sold a ton of those. Those were very popular.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Hot licks?
I think you said Starlicks. I said hot licks because I'm a crazy person. But that's really, really interesting. Unfortunately, in my time learning guitar, those were a thing of the past, and that's unfortunate because it might have helped my playing anyway.
Yeah. Can I just add one more thing? Sorry to interrupt, but Roth's lyrics. This song contains one of his very best series of lyrics. It seems like 40 days and 40 nights since.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Someone used my first name, including you. I mean, it's what, so underrated as a lyricist just because of his personality and just his ringleader persona on stage, but just so underrated as a lyricist, and just this song, just the lyrics he wrote and the smoky vibe of the song is just brilliant to me.
Great. Mm.
That's kind of it was a real toss up for me on this one. I ranked this one number 7, but that's only because I didn't know where else to put this above the other remaining tracks, because I was just feeling it a lot more with the other tracks, and this one was just kind of a break in the momentum, so compared to how the other tracks go, at least for me, at least in my replaying for ranking this list. And I struggled really hard, because there was one day where I thought I was just in a very kind of grooved out sort of chill mood, and you know, pop an edible, you smoke a J, and you're like, yeah, this is the one right here. Yep, this is like, I'm good right here. And then I wake up the next morning and go like, I'm kind of bored. I need something with a little more pick me up. Doesn't mean that this song is bad. I just like, I need a little more. So that, based on all of it, I had to just put it where it was. This is the one I didn't feel happy about putting it where I placed it, but you never know. Like tomorrow I could have a completely different opinion, but that's why it fell to number 7 for me. Corey, how about yourself?
Well, first of all, to help Chris out, he ranked this number 5. This was your 5th ranked track.
Okay.
For anyone who's curious, who voted this number 1, it was Nate from the Deep Purple podcast. But this is his number 1 track.
Nate's my new best friend now.
I could see that. Yeah.
As for myself, I really struggled with like 5 through 8. I find those songs really all kind of depends on what kind of mood I'm in. And I'm pretty sure I just got done listening to a Pot of Thunder Striper episode, Waiting for a Love That's Real. And I wasn't in a very funky mood. So I put push number 8. Today I would probably rank it higher. But back then, after listening to the Striper episode, which is a great episode, but the song is absolutely horrid. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that song was god awful.
Oh yeah, don't get me going on Striper. No,
that was rough. And don't blame us. The listeners submitted it. Pulled it at random. Yeah, that was crap.
Chris, I'm the one that submitted Wynonna's Big Brown Beaver, so I'm hoping that the random song generator will hit that someday.
I would love some Prime.
That's a great tune.
I'm not saying I ever did that song at karaoke once, but I did.
Oh, it's a great karaoke song. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Striper recently played in Nashville, and it was a banger of a show. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So, all right, moving forward, what else we got?
How many edibles had you consumed before you came to that
question? Not a one, yeah, because I was actually
– come on.
That's a lie, dude.
I was looking forward. Dude, that last album they put out is not terrible. I was actually really surprised. Dude, Striper
is the rule. It's not terrible. Okay.
Hey, when Mark's putting on the bullshit, isn't there a drinking rule we're supposed to do when Mark's trying to spin his
wheels? We get some edibles.
I don't
Wait.
Know. Like, have you guys right, figured out when I'm bullshitting yet? I don't know.
I'm the edibles. Where are the edibles?
I don't know.
I unabashedly thought that show was really, really good. So that's, you know, take it for what it is. There is no bullshit there, but feel free to drink. Corey, what do you say we move on?
All right. Well, push comes to shove on our fan poll. 87.6% What Dreams Are Made Of, 12.4% The Dream Is Over. So it's our 6th ranked song from our people on the poll. But let's get to our number 6, and we're kind of going in the opposite direction here. It's time for a little swing.
No.
Wow.
That's right. Center Swing, number 6. Wow. Total points, 146. Its highest ranking was number 1 on one ballot. Its lowest ranking was 8th, also on one ballot. Finished 8th, won 7th 11 times, 6th 8 times, 5th 6 times, 4th 3 times, 3rd twice, 2nd once, and 1st once. So Center Swing, officially our number 6 song from Fair Warning.
Wow. I don't know what to say about that. I mean, like, where it fell in my ranking. I'll just go ahead. This was my number 4, and that's only because I think the other 3 are just like complete bangers and must be treated as such, but this one was very, very close to making top three. The song is too low. Yeah, but number six, though, like, not even the top five? Like, I mean, I know there's only nine songs, or technically eight, I guess, if you want to discount one, but still, six? I'm confused. I guess my only my question is to those who ranked it so much lower is, like, does the Van Halen swing just not do it for you? Because if so, you must not like any of the Roth era. That's all I gotta say, and, you know, what have you. I'm going to go right down to Sean McGinnity, man. How do you feel about Center Swing?
I was right at six, actually. Yeah.
Oh,
right,
my God.
What?
You're the one.
Come on.
Explain yourself.
Come on.
Now I'm drinking. Bullshit. This
song No. So he's like right on the center line. I'll join you, Mark. He's right on the center line.
I'm drinking Portuguese ginger right now.
Is that like worse
like
or better?
Ale. What do you got there?
It's kind of like
blood wine.
It's kind of like cough syrup, to be honest.
But so it's Robitussin. Cool.
Yeah. Robitussin.
Yeah.
I'm not on any edibles, but anyway, I don't know. Like, there's so many great fucking songs on here. It's like, how do you rank? I don't know. There's nothing wrong with this song. Like, honestly, this is one of these albums I play every single song. I don't skip anything. I listen, and usually when I'm at the end of the album, I listen to the whole album again. So, like, to me, it's just inches between all of the songs, and there's nothing wrong with this song at all. It's just I got five more that I love way more, that I like more than this one.
Mm.
There's literally nothing wrong with this song. It's a tough ranking.
I think you just said it, though, and that's what's going to be, is that there are so many songs on this record that people love more than other songs, and that's just what it comes down to, is what do you love the most, and that's how it's going to rank, right, from there.
Yeah. Well, Chaz, how do you like Center Swing?
Oh.
You did?
Yeah, well, this was number one for me, so... All transparency.
Whoa, number one?
Number one.
Center, yep.
This was Van Halen swing for me. So there's a few things that Van Halen do for me, and Eddie's playing has always done for me, particularly as a rhythm guitarist, as I started as a rhythm guitar player, and it's the swing and the boogie. And this song, when I heard it, it was just so fucking electric. And the fact that he says, "She looks so fucking good," it was just like one of those songs that had everything that I loved about Van Halen in it. And it's like, there's not one thing missing. And it's so aggressive and so just, that the lyric is just, I mean, I sing along, that it's an earworm. It comes out of nowhere. Just get out of push. I mean, for me, it doesn't get better than this in terms of swing and boogie, like when Eddie's really in his wheelhouse, this for me was like the total epitome of his swing.
So I'm not mistaken, based on that list you had just pulled up, Corey, we just had one vote that for number one for this song.
And that is correct.
You, Chaz.
Yep.
That was Chaz. You. There it is. Revealed.
I'm curious where Chaz is going to put the number one song, because I think we all know what the number one song is going to be off this
I think
album.
We all know the number one song, too. Chaz has
it. I think it comes up pretty close to where it probably is on everyone else.
You think so?
List.
Okay.
Yeah. That's close.
But I'm curious as to where Chris L placed Center Swing.
Corey, help me out here again. I don't have the list in front of me, but I want to
number six.
Number six. Okay.
What? Oh, you you and Sean. What the hell's happening?
Yeah,
this is a conspiracy.
I'm kind of disappointed in myself to hear that.
In retrospect, I can see it in his face. Can't you see that? That's genuine.
He made the list and it just left his brain.
As long as, we'll get into it later, but as long as I had it higher than another song on the album, I can live with it just because everything else on the album is so great. But I absolutely respect the decision to put it at number one, because it's just... one of those songs that's just so unique in the catalog, and just, great lyrics. And so at the time in 81, my music listening rig was an 8-track player that I got handed me down from my cousin. And, And we also, the main family car just happened to have an 8-track player in it. And the first time my dad gave me privileges to play my music in the car, popped in Fair Warning, and the second he heard "You Look So Fucking Good," I lost my privileges. So
yes,
because I forgot that was coming, and I popped it in, and it, as soon as he heard it, he hit the eject, and he's like, "Okay, that's it." You know.
Okay, Chris, I have a question
hell
for you, Chris.
Yes.
Which 8-track did they replace it with? Was it a yellow?
And no, funny you mention ELO. I've got an ELO tie-in later in the episode for a teaser. But no, I think he and my mom popped in one of her Neil Diamond 8-tracks. Could have been worse.
Where around the world.
Could have been worse.
Been a little off of Hawaii.
Yeah, it could have been worse.
But yeah, no, that was pretty scandalous to hear the F word in music back in those days. And, you know, that as a, you know, 15-year-old kid at the time, I thought it was great. And then of course the music and, you know, we've touched on them a little bit so far, but I mean, the drumming is insane. I don't even know if there's a time signature, and if there is, how many different ones are in the song. I'm not that sophisticated enough to nail that down, but the drumming is ridiculous.
Well, and you know, and one of the things we're always talking about, these guys are always talking about, is the bass. You can hear everybody on this song, and they're all bringing it, man. Like, they, you know, Mikey, talk about those time changes. He is right there.
Best produced album in the of the original six, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I'm there with you.
All right. So, Scott Monroe, where would you have put, or what did you put Center Swing?
Well, I put it in fifth, so it made my top five. I struggled with it a little between Push Comes to Shove and Center Swing, but for me, just the you can't beat the energy on it. Like Chaz was saying, that chorus just comes out of nowhere, and it's an earworm. And I just love Dave's attitude on the song. It almost, for me, kind of rivals the attitude that he has on Unchained in a way. It's just so great. Definitely has to make my top five at least, so fifth for me.
Fair enough. Scott Everett, we're ending with the Scots. How about you?
Sorry to blow your mind again, Mark. I had it at six, so right here
along with everyone else. Unbelievable.
I know. So I mean, again, I love the song. I remember hearing Dave throw the F-bomb down when I was age 12. I was smart enough to do it behind closed doors, though, not in front of my parents.
Nobody ever accused me of
not in the family car.
Nobody ever accused me of being smart.
But I have used it with my own kids where I've played the song and like, see, he uses it. It, where it means something versus the music of the day where they throw it every other line. So you got to use it where it's got to have some meaning behind it. So I tried to use it as a learning tool for my children. So there
it
you
was
go.
A superlative.
There you go.
Cursing with purpose.
There you go.
Well, Scott Haskin, do you want to let him know where you had it on your list?
Yeah, where'd you have it, Scott Haskin?
Well, I mean, once again, throwing the curve, I had it at number 8.
What?
Oh boy.
He's like a proggy guy. Scott, you're a proggy guy, right?
Well, when I was a kid, I wanted to play, you know, I'm a drummer, and I wanted to play Deep Purple music. That was my whole thing, was I just wanted to play, you know, all the Deep Purple and Rainbow and Whitesnake I could get my hands on. And I went to my grandfather's house, who was also a drummer, for a few days over the holidays. And all he would let me do is play along to Benny Goodman records. And I swear to God, I got so sick of that style of music. I never wanted to hear swing again. I have greater appreciation for it now. I really wish I would have been of a better mindset than I was at the time, because I could have learned a lot from that. But at the time, I just hated it. You know, I wanted to be playing Hush and In the Address and all those songs.
Mm.
But interesting, I'm surprised that this was released on 8-track. What year did this album come out?
81.
Wow, they were still making them, huh?
Yeah, they were making 8-tracks into, I believe, like 85, 86.
I was going to say. Wow. No, I had one in 83. I had Def Leppard.
Yeah.
I still have one.
It's a terrible format, really.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's the worst, yeah.
Yeah, they never got the track order right. You'd have songs cut in half. It's just really weird.
Oh.
My and a terrible way to listen track. To ELO for the first time.
Oh, you got that right. Especially when you blow all your paper route money on the horrible double album Out of the Blue, you got to take it out to your driveway and smash it. That's what I did.
Scott Haskin mentioned Whitesnake. Rest in peace, Bernie Marsden. Just a little shout out there. And then there was Corey.
Yes. Well, actually, so Scott doesn't feel so lonely. Our good friend Kevin Brown, who had company and couldn't make the live show because he's a fucking twit. He ranked this seventh. It's okay. I do podcasts with Kevin. He gets it. He had this one seventh, so he was pretty long.
Come on.
I had it fifth.
Must be a Brit thing. I don't know.
It must be. I had it fifth. Jealous. I love Sinner.
They were jealous. That's the Brits don't like him. I was over there recently, man. Eddie's nowhere to be found over there anymore.
Well, and Chris L pointed out the drums and how great the drums are. Scott Haskin and Kevin Brown are both drummers and both ranked this low. I'm a wannabe drummer, and I rank this at least in my top five. So
maybe they were mad. They were just like, "Well, fuck Alex. He can't play like no. I'm ranking this low because fuck him." Is that it? No, was that it? No.
Well, Sean, you're a drummer too, aren't you?
I am. Sean's a drummer. Absolutely. Yep. Push comes to shove, better groove.
Something is amiss here. Something, I don't know. Listeners, you're gonna have to decipher for yourself. Is there a conspiracy happening with Sinner Swing, or am I just out of my mind?
I'm a drummer too. I like it, so I'm throwing that one right out.
It's all good as long as you don't put Sunday Afternoon at number one. You're okay in my book. So.
Unless you're really into planetarium shows.
Corey, you're the one
taking an edible and going to the planetarium. There you go.
Corey's the one that keeps bringing me on to shows of bands I know nothing about. So I.
Yeah. Scott's actually my co-host on the Aerosmith show right now. So.
That's strategy. That's a disruptive strategy.
It's all. It is strategy. It's all a part of his grand plan for the universal podcasting takeover that Corey is doing.
Yeah,
CMPU. It's happening. And Scott Haskin, full disclosure, you're one of his heralds. If he's Galactus, you're at least Silver Surfer. Maybe you're
he's a Silver Surfer. That's right.
You're one of them. You're one of those people. So you're just going to have to just make peace with it and enjoy being on more podcasts of bands you know nothing about, because Corey's going to bring you into it. So there's your fair warning.
Gonna make you listen to Squonk. Look out. Oh no, he'll dig that. Hold on, wait.
Get ready for lots of Manowar.
Yeah, I need Nick Jones here if I'm going to start talking about Genesis, but Cinder Swing, let's just finish that one off. The fans on the polls ranked this one fourth. It was 89.1% what Dreams Are Made Of. 10.9% Dream Is Over.
That's respectable for all the fans, yes.
Let's go through some of our special guests. Sinner Swing was fifth on Eric Senich's, sixth on Chris L. I think I mentioned that. Steve Roth had this one fifth, third on Darren Paltrowitz's list from the DLR cast. Steve Rosen had this one second. So he's a big fan of this. And Greg Renoff, of course, the author of great Van Halen book. He had this one seventh. Jeff Goble also had it seventh. Kelsey had it seventh. Sinner Swing for Greg Prado was third. Sean's brother Todd had this one seventh. Johnny Bean had it seventh. And Kyle Anderson had it fifth.
What is happening?
Big variance.
I am so confused by that. So I demand explanations from all of you out there.
It would have been party.
Now that we have number five, let's see if you guys agree that this one should have ranked ahead of Sinner Swing. That's right, number five, Dirty Movies. Total points, 157. So it had 11 more points than Sinner Swing. Highest ranking was number one on one ballot. Its lowest ranking was ninth on two ballots. So it finished ninth on two ballots, eighth on two ballots, seventh on four ballots, sixth on six ballots. The average was pretty much fifth. 10 votes for fifth. Fourth was sixth. Third was second. Second place first. First place first. So Dirty Movies coming in at number five. Should this have been ranked ahead of Sinner Swing? Let's discuss.
Well, full disclosure, this was my number three. So it just beat Sinner Swing. And I think just because this is so now we're in my top three with this track. But my top three just hit real, real hard. And I go back to our show when we discussed some dirty movies, and it was kind of an eye-opening experience listening to it, because I didn't have a recollection of jamming it very often prior to our show. And once I did, I got really into it, and then I got more into it, and I've listened to it a whole bunch, and I don't know why, but there's just something about it that just really latched onto me, like not so much an earworm, but more so just a song that you can't get out of your head, and you might as well embrace the chaos or hate it forever. And I didn't want to burn it down because it was too good. So, but I couldn't give it the number one or two status, obviously, but it just barely beat Center Swing, and that's why it's my number three. So, do I think it needs to be number five? I won't protest against it, because I think that's a respectable place for it to be, in my opinion. But I think Scott Everett has a different opinion. Where'd you put it, Scott?
No, I had it right here. I feel really good. I'm bored, so I had it right here. And again, love this song. I love what Alex does on this song. Just is amazing. I mean, I'm not always... Alex doesn't always stand out. I think he's a phenomenal drummer, but this is one song where he stands out, and I think he's great. The whole song's great. And again, this is just going to get really tough as we go along. So I had it right here, though.
It's not their heaviest. It's not their swingiest. But there's just something about it. It's got some charm. Scott Monroe, how about you?
Well, I'm probably going to get some shit here. I place it eighth. I shudder to think if it's because I have five kids now and this is not one that I would play out loud for them.
That might be it.
I don't know. It's a great track, but it does it when you compare it with all of the other heavy hitters for me. It falls down in the order. I'm not going to knock it for anything in particular. It's definitely the harmonies are great. The groove is great. I can't rank it higher in comparison to everything else.
Gotta respect it, even if I completely disagree with it. It's fine. Sean, how about yourself, man?
Oh God, you're gonna hate me. I ranked this one as seven. This used to be my favorite. When I first stole the cassette from my brother's room, and it went missing for 6 months in my room, the first three tracks were like my favorite three tracks on here, and they were the ones I listened to all the time. And as you progress through your years of listening to such a great album, some songs move ahead in the order and some songs move back. I listened to those three songs maybe too much, and maybe that's why they don't rank as high anymore. But I mean, it's a great song, and listening to it just now, just like the few seconds we listened to it, it's like, shit, I should have ranked this higher, shouldn't I have?
It's just... probably it is what it is, but no
that Mark's you bring lead.
I don't know about that, but it's like I mean, I've mentioned before, tomorrow I could have a completely different opinion, because you know, music is subjective, and some songs are going to hit you harder some days than others. So you were obviously not in the this mood album,
different batch of edibles,
but especially this album.
Could be. So yeah, it's all good, but you know, that is where it falls. I'm going to take a giant leap here and say this one falls pretty low on the list for a Scott Haskin. Am I correct?
Yeah, Corey knows. Yep. Yeah, this was my ninth. This was only the second song, you know, into the album, and I was already like a minute in going, do I need to listen to the whole song? It just didn't do anything for me. It felt like they're pulling every trick that they can to make it interesting. Like, we'll just add that little extra beat here and kind of throw things off. People will go for that. It just did not strike me as a song I'd ever want to hear again.
Slide
didn't
guitar,
land.
Sweet. Any of that? No.
It just well, you know, as Scott has pointed out before, very like to his credit, not the typical shit he goes for. So you know, we could not have expected it to rank so high. Hence why I said I assume this one was pretty low on his list. and it was the lowest. So there you go. But hey, you know, again, subjective. It's all there. I don't.
And I'm not the only Scott, one. If you don't want two votes.
No, you're not the. Yeah, you're right. You're not the only one. So I can't get too mad at you. Chris L, I'm curious. Where did Dirty Movies land for you?
Yeah, you should ask Corey, but I think I know this one. I think I'm got a better idea moving forward here, but I'm pretty sure I had this seventh. Yep. Right?
Yep.
Yeah, and that's what I was getting at before. It's like I felt okay about having Sinner Swing at six as long as it was above Dirty Movies. But again, we're getting to that thing where everything except the last two tracks, they're almost interchangeable, really, and something's got to rank near the bottom. And you know, this one would be was seventh for me. But you know, you've got just Eddie playing slide guitar. There's no shred solo from Eddie in this one, so it makes it a little unusual. The little sort of syncopated interlude before the prom queen breakdown is pretty cool. And but in general, just the whole lyrical content, and this is pretty much just like another David Lee Roth encapsulation of like everything he's about. Like nobody else on earth would write a song like that. It's just so unique and interesting perspective on things. And the other thing that's unusual, it's like when you get the album and you're looking at the song titles, it's like Dirty Movies is in quotes. You're like, why is that in quotes? Why is there an exclamation point at the end of Sinner Swing? And you just get the impression that Roth is just like, yeah, put quotes on that one, exclamation point on that one. Why? Just because I want them there. You know, there's just no explanation for it. And it just kind of added a little bit to the intrigue. But it's a cool song for me, but there's just the other material is just so strong that it just got bumped down to seven.
All right. Well, again, it's like, I get it, but at the same time, I don't get it. It's fine, but it's fine. Chaz, how about you? Are you going to restore some order here?
I'm actually on the middle line on this one. So I'm right where everybody else was with five. For me though, I could easily be sitting here and waxing like, why didn't I rank this higher? This song for me, I love the story. You know, it's I was the same way when I saw the album, and it's like, you know, why was it treated that way, and why was the exclamation point the other way? You know, I questioned that stuff too. And then when I kind of remember listening to the story and going, oh God, there were a couple of girls in high school where you're like, oh, you know, yeah, I can see that happening to her. I mean, I can remember that being a conversation, like who would be the girl that ends up like the girl in Dirty Movies? So, you know, I mean, again, this was like peak of the high school years and when, you know, we were all horn dogs running around. And so just the whole idea, right? That because especially too, where I grew up, just so close to New York City, the idea that like girls that we grew up with could end up in the city and end up in a dirty movie was like, you know, a funny thing that we thought, yeah, it could actually happen. So, you know, we were just that way. We were just a bunch of horny young kids. And this one for me could have easily probably been anywhere between three and five. So, you know, like I said, I think when it came down to it, the songs that are ahead of it, I just love more. But, you know, again, this was, again, when you talk about Van Halen being dangerous and something your parents wouldn't want you to know anything about, you know, turning it off when he hears, you know, the word fuck. I mean, if your parents were to hear and understand the context of this song, right? I mean, come on, you know, so especially at that time.
Hey, my parents were like, if it doesn't have a parental advisory sticker emblem on it, then it must be okay, right?
Oh, this was before that. So, this was right before that.
Before that. So,
couple more years.
But also, my folks were big into Van Halen, so they were like, whatever, just listen to what you want.
Yeah, but my parents had no idea what was going on with the lyrics. You know,
Of course not. Yeah, many people don't until they do, and then it's like, oh my God.
And what I like to tell my kids is that they were my babysitters growing up. So Eddie and Dave and Mike and Alex, those were my babysitters. That's who I learned from. So MTV, Van Halen, that was it.
They were your authority figures. And speaking of authority and Van Halen, Eric Sinich has joined us on the live show. Oh, what is up, Eric?
I'm sorry, I got the wrong. I thought this was that metal show. Is this Eddie Trunk?
No,
sorry.
I'm sorry. I was going to call in to see what's going on with Vinnie Vincent. Sorry, guys. Take care.
Sorry, we're not talking about Dio tonight. So,
I'm joining. If it's Vinnie Vincent talk, I want to hear all about it.
What's up, guys?
No, Adrian Vandenberg.
Listen to his Glenn Hughes episode.
You know that too.
Dare I say, look at all the people here tonight. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And is that Chris L I see? Oh my gosh.
That's a wild Chris L. You see him. That is correct. Before I throw it over to Eric real quick, but Corey, where did you put Dirty Movies?
Well, before I get to that, I just want to mention when it comes to swearing and songs, when I was 8 years old, we had the 8-track for the Rodeo Song, which I don't think anyone on the panel probably knows the Rodeo Song. It's a Canadian tune.
I know it.
Sean knows it. Yep. The first verse is, well, it's Canadians 40 below. Yeah, the first verse is, well, it's 40 below and I don't give a fuck. Got a heater in my truck and I'm off to the rodeo. So that's what I grew up listening to. So fair warning was no problem haiku? For me. Yeah.
That's the whole song is, Jin's next album.
There you go. Yeah, the chorus is, you piss me off, fucking jerks, get on my nerves. So typical Canadian.
We had that in Detroit. I didn't recognize it by the title, but the chorus you just mentioned. Yeah, we had that.
I remember that one.
Down in North Canada.
That's right. Here comes Johnny with his pecker in his hand. He's a one bald man, and he's off to the rodeo. Yep. That'll be my next podcast.
Wait, I've heard that line. Holy shit. Do I know this song?
Maybe flies in the face of everything I think about Canada.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, someone submit it to Pot of Thunder, please.
Oh, I might. Yeah, good call. I'm a patron. I'm going to do that. But I'm lockstep with Chris L here. I had this one 7th as well. Dirty Movies is the one we're on, Eric. On our official rankings, it finished 5th. We'll get to you and your rankings here in a second. Overall, it was 5th overall. I had it 7th. I dig the song fine. Like, my 5, 6, 7, 8 are pretty interchangeable. I think I was in a bad mood because I just heard the Chris Jericho Anvil Mad Dog episode of Pot of Thunder. And Anvil is really, you know, not a great band. But
what? I metal on metal, baby. Come on.
They're okay. They're
school love. Come on.
You're doing a Rush podcast. You're doing a good Canadian band, or at least better than Anvil. But
it's one of the greatest comeback stories in metal history.
Well, the movie is fantastic, but and I shouldn't speak too poorly of Anvil, because Chris, of course, has his fake Anvil. Was it Anvil Metal Pounder fucking card or something?
Fake. Metal what are you talking about, man? That shit got me on Air Force One. Didn't you hear that?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. You flash that thing out. You can go anywhere you want on this planet.
Yes.
There's VIP Lips. And then there's the Anvil Metal Pounder card.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah. 7th for me. I like Dirty Movies fine. I don't know. I was just in a bad mood that day. But for our fans on the polls, Dirty Movies was 8th. So it's actually the last ranked song according to the poll. But it's still 81%. What Dreams Are Made Of, 19%. This Dream Is Over. So still, the 8th track on Fair Warning is still better than anything on Van Halen 3, right? So,
yeah, but 81%, that's one of Dave's lowest.
That is, that's pretty low for a Dave track. Now, Eric Sinich, you had Dirty Movies at number 6, didn't you?
I did, yeah. I'm looking at it here. Number 6.
Explain
this
yourself.
It's impossible. It's hard to even have anything at number 9. I mean, all of the songs are stellar, but when you look at the other tracks on the album, Dirty Movies at 6, I guess, makes sense. But this is classic Dave right here. The lyrics, what's the line?
Remember when that girl was
prom queen?
Yeah. Yes.
You know, I mean, that's classic Dave there.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
So it's a strong 6 because I had that push comes to shove at 7. So am I allowed to say or what?
No, we've already covered 9 through.
We haven't gotten push comes to shove yet. Wow.
Alan Tate said, apologies to Gary. I think we have to take a drink.
Yep.
Sunday afternoon in the park, 8, 1 foot out the door, 9.
Yeah. And just to catch you up, Eric, The official and the podcast will walk rankings based on all of our listeners on our special guest was 1 Foot Out the Door was 9th. Sunday Afternoon in the Park was 8th. Push Comes to Shove was 7th. Center Swing was 6th. Dirty Movies 5. And that's where we are right now.
All right.
That doesn't matter.
Not surprising.
Wait, you say all right?
That's okay. Predict. I would predict that. I think that's a fair assessment. If Unchained was anywhere down on the bottom, then we'd have
Mariano.
I should mention our good friend Kelsey had Dirty Movies ranked number 1. So she was the one.
All right.
That tracks.
Way to go, Kelsey.
Look, there's still plenty. There's still plenty of time. We've got 4 more songs. So there's plenty of time to disappoint us, because that's what these rankings and polls seem to do sometimes. So,
hey everyone, Corey from End the Podcast Will Rock here. Our little live show here went a little longer than we anticipated. It actually went 2 hours and 48 minutes. So we're splitting this episode into two. So please join us for part 2. Of our Fair Warning rankings with our esteemed panel, and find out what song finished number 1 from this classic album. But until then, on behalf of Mark Meyer, my name is Corey Morissette. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you all in part 2.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.